Chris Cook, here with Mr. William Lee Golden of the Oak Ridge Boys. I want to thank you for joining us today, Mr. Golden. At an early age on a weekly radio show to becoming, you know, internationally known for what you do. Kind of walk me through that.
Well, again, it was back in where I started loving quartet singing was in high school.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to sing in the FFA quartet in high school. And I think I was in 11th grade when I started singing with the Future Farmers of America.
Yeah,
we would compete with other schools and that would have bands or quartets competing with each other. And we went to state finals, and our lead singer's family took him to California for the summer. And so that messed up us getting to sing in the finals. But I always loved quartet singing after that, and four-part harmony singing. And so I put a group together after school and sang around locally. And then I met the Oak Ridge Boys, and we sang on some shows with them down in Bonifay, Florida, big all-night singings, and in Mobile, Alabama, and Pensacola, Florida. But I got to see the guys and got to know them some. And then I went to them and talked to them. They had made a change in the group in the early 60s. And I went and talked to the Oaks, and Smitty Gatlin was singing lead. Little Willie Wynn was singing tenor. Harmon Harper was singing baritone. And Gary McSpadden was singing Harmon Harper was singing bass, and Gary was singing baritone. Gary McSpadden. Mm-hmm. But that was a group that turned me on to the group. And but then Gary had left, and then Jim Hamill had come, and I went to Smitty and told him, man, if y'all make another change, I'd like to try out. And sure enough, 2 months later, he called me and said, are you still interested in trying out to sing baritone? I said, absolutely. Yes, I'm honored to be on your show here.
Not too often I ever get to speak to country royalty, as I'll call it, who's kind of been an influence on my family's life, but we'll get into that a little bit more as we interview. But, you know, when you have somebody like yourself that's got the storied career, of course, you've got the concert coming up in Evansville on Thursday evening. I believe the doors open at 6 o'clock at the Aiken Theater down at the old National Events Plaza. But kind of tell me, you know, where it all started. Let's go back to like early on in Alabama. What were some of your early influences, not just in music, but in life back in Brewton, I believe is the proper pronouncing?
Yeah, Brewton, Alabama. It's way down south, right near the Florida state line. In fact, our farm that I grew up on, it adjoined the Florida state line there. And my grandfather lived right across the line, and all of my family lived in the community there. And so, music was a part of our family growing up. My granddaddy Golden was a fiddle player. My sister was real talented. She plays guitar, mandolin, and piano. And she was 3.5 years older than me. She is 3.5 years older. And she taught me how to play rhythm guitar and to sing harmonies when I was 6, 7, and 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
And we would play and had a little duet, but it was country music that was our influence. We'd sing songs by Hank Williams, I Saw the Light, then Matching Over the Hilltop, a Kitty Wells song, and then Wings, what is it, Great Speckled Bird, Roy Acuff song, we'd sing that, and some Louvin Brothers songs. But we had a little duet, and Granddaddy would let us sing on his radio show about once a week. And we'd sing in every little schoolhouse and church down south there. But, man, that was my foundation was singing old-time country and gospel songs.
Yeah, I would imagine. I read that about your grandfather had a radio show. To go from that type of foundation to where the music industry is now, did you ever have any thoughts or dreams that you would even be to this point? From starting out way back when?
Went to Nashville and got the gig, man. I could wow. not have been happier. And every day is a new day, man. Never get too old to learn something new.
And that was 1965 for the folks that might not know that, correct?
That's right. I joined in January of 1965, and I just celebrated 60 years here.
Wow.
Dwayne Allen is heading to his 60th this year, and we come within a year of each other here, and I was with him and met him when he was with the Prophets Quartet. And, but yeah, man, we were both singing gospel music and gospel quartets when we met, and he's been a backbone as a lead singer for going on 60 years.
Wow. And that's a lot of time up and down the road, I'd imagine, as well, and a lot of stories. And, you know, it seems in my experience from reading, when I research individuals such as yourself, that backbone in that era of country music, it was in the gospel singing. It was singing on Sunday that kind of led a lot of these performers such as yourself into the profession down the road and everything like that. I do want to, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the influence on my own family of your music. My wife was born, and I'm going to date myself here, after you just said you've had 60 years in the music industry, my wife was born in 1982. And there is a tradition in her family that has now become our family's tradition, and it's the 1982 Christmas album by the Oak Ridge Boys. It is played on repeat when we're trimming the tree in our family home still to this day. And it's a tradition that started in the early 80s. She grew up in the South down in Florida, and it's a tradition. We actually have one of the old original, I believe it's a tape even, but I think we have it on CD now. That is our tradition at our house that started at her house, to where we play that Christmas album front to back the entire time that we're putting up the tree and getting the house ready for Christmas, usually a few days after Thanksgiving. And it gets played several times throughout the holiday season. But to have the impact, you know, I'll be 50 in January, to still be having an impact after 60 years in the industry. How do you put that into words? I mean,
well, it's that's the power of music, is all I know, Chris. It's just power of, that's what drew us to this, is what it did to us individually. Music pulled us to want to be a part of it. And we have found, even this year more than any time, that music has a healing power.
Yes.
We knew it was a powerful medium, but music has a healing power. We found it in our own lives that it's been healing mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And certainly after the losses that we had last year and saying farewell to our longtime singing partner of 50 years, Joe Bonzel, it was heart-wrenching. But it's been music that has lifted our spirit out of the valley of sorrow and put a new smile on our face.
Yeah.
With the joy that music can bring to our lives. And some of the songs, maybe you're reflecting on the times that we recorded them. But then our young guy, Ben James, that joined the Oak Ridge Boys, Joe Bonzel called him and told him one night, said, "Man, I can't go any further. I want you to get your singing britches on and go help the guys this weekend," said, "because I can't go any further." He was dealing with ALS, the Lou Gehrig disease, is what Joe was suffering from for maybe 2 or 3 years. But Ben James, he's a young voice. He's in his 20 years. He's in his late 20s. But he was 27 when he joined the Oak Ridge Boys. He joined us a year and a half ago now, almost 2 years this coming December. Ben has been a godsend for us. When Tony Brown heard Ben James sing, and Tony Brown has produced more number one records for Billboard magazine than any other producer in the history of Nashville Records. When Tony heard Ben sing, he walked over to him and told him, said, "Man, I just want to tell you, I've not heard another high, lonesome sounding voice like yours other than one guy in the past 35 years. He said, "You got that high, lonesome sound, and you're a brand new generation with a Vince Gill voice."
Yeah.
So that's a pretty high compliment coming from anyone, especially the best producer in Nashville. We've been produced by Dave Cobb our last five albums. And Ben James sing on the last album with us. He was, that was recorded last year and was released in the fall last year. And earlier this year, there was one song off that album that was getting more hits and streams than any other song. It was a song that Aaron Rettier and David Lee Murphy wrote that Dave Cobb had commissioned them to write some songs for our new album, which was, it was about our mothers. He wanted to do a song about our mothers and call the album The Oak Ridge Boys, Mama's Boys.
Yeah.
And so it's a song about mamas. And this song, Come On Home, is about a mother pleading with her son. He had left home to go out and make it in his high-mile Cadillac. And he gets to L.A. at a truck stop and calls back. And she tells him, if you're tired and weary, come on home. The door's all, front door's always open, and the lights are always on.
Yeah.
You know, you're always welcome. Come on home. But it's, we did a music video this year on that song because it was getting so much streams. And Ben James played the lead kid that's leaving home. The Oak Ridge Boys didn't harmonize with him, but he's leaving and then calls his mom. And but yeah, we've got a brand new music video that just won a Telly Award for Music Video of the Year, which is wow for the old guys to be still winning awards.
Wow. Now, did you have any stories about your tryout back in 1965 versus his tryout a couple years ago? Did you all share any stories with the younger gentleman?
Well, Ben really didn't have a tryout. What happened is we had sang with a group he was singing with at the time was Daly and Vinson, a bluegrass group. And we were on a show up at Wheeling, West Virginia, to big where they have the big jamboree. We were getting ready to do, this was about 6 months before Joe Bonzel had to get off the road. And he was on a stool, and he told them, he invited them all to come out and join us on Elvira and Bobby Sue. Well, Ben was out there on stage. They were all singing with us, and Joe handed him the mic on the second verse. Did you take the second verse? Ben took it, and man, place went wild. And we looked at each other and said, wow, this kid can sing.
Yeah.
But that's how Joe passing him the torch. We didn't have a tryout with that.
Okay.
We had to go do a date, and it was the first concert. He didn't miss a word or a note.
Wow.
And we were amazed that he knew all of our songs that well and knew Joe's parts. But it was amazing, man.
Sometimes it's just meant to be, you know, and when you get up there and it starts clicking like that, that I would assume you had like more of a structured tryout, you know, back in the 60s. But did have a question. You know, I want to remind people, you know, you can go to oakridgeboys.com and see some of those videos. And then Mr. Golden, William Lee Golden, .com is your website. You know, as you talk about influences, do you feel like early on in your music career, we talked about as a youth, and then as a professional performer, but during your time in music, have you had different influences depending on the period of life that you're in?
Well, what we do is we have influences for people that we love what they're doing. I see where country music is today, and I like country music. It resonates with a lot of people. Today, country music is the biggest music in the world, in America. You know, it used to be rock and roll. Then hip-hop come along and put them in the backseat.
Yeah.
And now then, country music has come to the forefront. And when you've got people like Beyonce, Post Malone, Kid Rock moving to Nashville, and them coming here and recording country songs with today's top young writers and singers, man, that's a great thing for country music. And again, it's country music. You got people like Morgan Wallen that's phenomenal, and Luke Combs, and a lot of the old schools. I like Lanny Wilson. Then we met this little Ellie Langley out at ACM Awards. She come up to us after a rehearsal there, we were presenting an award, and she was singing out there. And on the show, and she won several awards that night, more than anybody, I think. But she come up to us backstage and started singing an old song that the Oak Ridge Boys had recorded, a song that I sang lead on called "I Wish You Could Have Turned My Head and Left My Heart Alone."
Oh, wow.
And she sang that to us, sang the whole chorus, and told us that, hey, I want to record with the Oak Ridge Boys. So that's a great honor for someone with her talent to want to record a song with the old guys.
Well, I mean, as you've been in the game for 60 years, country royalty legend, you know, with the group and the Oak Ridge Boys. If, like, we came to a time where you only had one more song to perform out of a diverse catalog that you wanted to define yourself as a musician, you had one opportunity to perform what song, what would that song be and why?
Well, man, it's a song that Eddie Raven wrote that I had the opportunity to record the lead vocal on it back in 1982 on our first Christmas album. It's a song that's called "Thank God for Kids." And today I can say thank God for kids and grandkids too. And now I've got three great grandkids. So time's made a change in me.
Wow. It's just amazing to me that, you know, this isn't scripted and I tell you my story and you go to that song for your, the one song that you would perform. Wow. That's amazing. But yeah, I listen to that song every Christmas time and that's a good one. But
that song was released off the album around Thanksgiving to push the Christmas album. It's and it pushed it out to country music. Country music played "Thank God for Kids" all the way through Christmas. Christmas came and went, the New Year came, and country music was still playing "Thank God for Kids." And in January, late January, first part of February, it became a number one country song. And to have a country song that says "Thank God for Kids," that tells you what a great music that country music is. They're open-hearted and open-minded and realize our greatest assets are our children.
I couldn't say it better. You talk a little bit about outside of the music. I was doing some reading on your background last night in preparation for today. Now, did I read correctly that you actually have gotten into art the past several years, or you've done painting and stuff like that, or was I mistaken?
No, you have, man. You're right. Some time ago, it's been about maybe almost 20, more than 20 years now, I started taking a camera on the road, taking photographs of landscapes and things. And I had mentioned to my former wife that I would one day like to try to paint at some point. Well, for when our young son Solomon was born, it was his first Christmas, and she bought these painting supplies and took some photos that I had made and bought me easels and paints and all that stuff, and with a message in there, "Okay, Dad, paint us a picture." And that kind of started it, but I did all of my painting on the road with the Oak Ridge Boys. I would do. And I've had a couple of showings of my art, one at the Tennessee State Museum, and had another big showing down at Pensacola Art Museum in Florida. But, I have painted, and I've got about 28 or 30 original paintings that I've done.
Wow.
And some of them have been, we've reproduced with a canvas G-clay on them. But I just feel keep most of my originals, and I wanted to have something to pass on to my family and my kid.
Kind of walk me through, like, when you're writing a song versus painting a painting as an artist, is that a similar thing, or is it a different process for a song versus a visual art?
Well, what it is with painting a painting, you decide what your subject is going to be. And the landscape subject, I was doing landscapes. I'm not proficient enough to be a portrait-type painter. You know, you paint your underpaintings, and you build the painting kind of like an underpainting. And then you put your forms where you're going, where they will be, where the sky will be, where the ground will be, and you do that at the painting, under painting. And you paint on top of those things. You kind of build it. And I'm real slow, man. It would take me 3 or 4 months to do a painting, but I would do it on the road. I'd take my supplies in my hotel room every day and take 2 or 3 trips to the bus and put an easel up by a window and lay some photos out on a bed, maybe, and put my paints and supplies out. And I'd spend the day there in front of a canvas and reflecting on old photos. And so sometimes I would get 3 or 4 paintings in a year.
Wow.
So I'd look back and have things that I would not have had if I didn't put some effort to it and turn off all the negative hate on television news.
Yeah, I usually, to get that fix for myself, I'll turn it to public television. Usually it's on about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. If I don't want to watch the news, I'll watch the old reruns of Bob Ross shows and just watch how he paints. And that's very relaxing, you know, to watch a painter go through their steps.
I would study their instructional videos by professional painters, young guys that were painting, and I bought these old books of a lot of the impressionist painters in France. And I like, my painting is probably a little more on that form than it is like but I like the colors, and they didn't use black in their palette of paints. They would use, if they needed a dark color, they would mix either a deep red and a deep blue to get their colors that they wanted. For as a black, they would use mixed darker colors to get what they wanted, and rather than having.
You know, I would assume, though, very similar to a painting is writing a song, you know, especially for country music, where you have to start with that base of that background harmony and then kind of get the words layered in. Wouldn't that be very similar? Am I off base here? You know, I've never written a song. I've only done a handful of paintings, but the reason I asked the question is because I figured that there was a similarity there that would also be relaxing to somebody such as yourself that is performing at that level.
Yeah, it is. Same thing with recording a song and studio work. You've got to, you know, you put your basic tracks down, and then sometimes you may be adding the vocals after you get the actual music track that you want to keep. Especially like harmonies and things. You get a lead singer down, then the lead singer normally goes back from his original scratch track, they call it, and steps away from it, listens to it, and then comes back and puts on what he feels more comfortable to be on there. And sometimes you get it all in the first take.
Yeah, and if kind of along those lines, because I know I'm looking at the clock and I've only got you for a few more minutes. If you had, you know, with all your experience, 60 plus years in the industry, you know, this Oak Ridge Boys, the farewell tour this Thursday night, plenty of tickets still available too, a few online I saw before we talked today. But if you had advice for anybody out there getting started in music, if you had one blurb to tell them, what would it be and why?
Well, I say you follow your passion and follow your dreams, your visions. You give it what you got, man. There's one thing you know, that if you're going in the right direction, you'll know it. And you can't give up just because you had 2 or 3 bad experiences or situations. We kept singing when other people told us it would never happen what we were trying to go for. But we could see it. That's what we felt like that we could, and we trust our instincts with what we were seeing and believing inside. And if we were to give up like some people would try to get you to do and get a regular job, then we would never make it. So the one thing you can always know, sing every opportunity you get the chance to sing, wherever it be, and you learn something every day, and you apply that to continue to grow throughout your life and to follow your visions, and don't allow other people or other situations to distract you from where you want to go in life.
I want to thank you, Mr. William Lee Golden, for joining me today here for our listeners at Posey County Radio. You can follow the Oak Ridge Boys at oakridgeboys.com and Mr. William Lee Golden.com for information about him and some of his projects. It's going to be a heck of a show in Evansville. I know this isn't your first rodeo in the Evansville area.
No, we've been there a few times, Brian, and that's the reason we're excited to be coming back. You know, we got some great memories there. We go back to the old Executive Inn days and playing on the riverbanks there. We played almost everywhere you can play there around Evansville.
I would imagine even going back to the 60s, it might have even been the Coliseum was still a big thing downtown. The building still stands there. Unfortunately, right. Robert Stadium doesn't. But, you know, you talk about the tie to this area. Nashville is only a few hours from Evansville. So country music in southwestern Indiana, southeastern Illinois, and part of western Kentucky, you know, it's big here. You know, it's big everywhere now, but it's always had some roots in this area. You know, I grew up, like I said, in the late 70s, early 80s myself. And my dad and mom and stepmom, they listened to country music in that period of that early 80s when, you know, Elvira was the song, you know. And you know, it's kind of to be able to have the opportunity to interview today, I want to thank you. I want to thank you on behalf of the fans of the Evansville community. And I just look forward to seeing my wife and I will be there at the show Thursday night. And we look forward to hearing a good show. And she was so excited. She wanted to do the interview today, but I said, no, that's not going to happen. So she was going to pull out a picture. She met you guys at the tour bus way back when. And I've seen the picture. So I know you've met millions of people around the world, but when you get to see somebody like that that's been an influence musically on your life, you know, come to the Evansville area, it's always great. But I do appreciate the time today. I want to be mindful of the time, remind everybody the show, the doors open at 6 o'clock. That's Thursday night at the Aiken Theater at the Old National Event Center. Chris Cook, thanking Mr. William Lee Golden of the Oak Ridge Boys. Thank you for your time, sir.